Okay, so the Or HaMeir, Rav Zev Wolf from the Zhitomir. Many of you probably haven't heard that name. But from the Chavraya of the Maggid from Mezrich, the Or HaMeir was from the great, great, great Tzaddikim. Didn't have a Chassidus, he was a big Rebbe, but I'm still surprised that so many people don't know about the Or HaMeir. After all, he has such a beautiful Sefer. The Rav Shetzer said about his Sefer, he said, every time I learn that Sefer, I'm very embarrassed. I feel like the Rebbe knows me. Everything which he says in that Sefer is talking about me. What do you mean by that? So once there was a group of Chassidim who came from the Berditchever to come spend the Shabbos by the Or HaMeir. And when they came back, they were asked, so nu, what do you have to say about Shabbos by the Or HaMeir? So they said, oh, let me tell you the difference between the Berditchever and your Rebbe, the Or HaMeir. Says, by the Or HaMeir, you get the impression that there's nothing which you could do, which you could find, do right for the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the Berditchever, you walk out thinking, there's nothing that the Ribbono Shel Olam does with enough for the Yidden. There's nothing which you could do which is enough to do for the Yidden. That's the difference. It was a very demanding Rebbe, the Or HaMeir. It was gvurus. Whereas by the Berditchever was kula chasadim, and they had very different drachim. Mamash ben katzal lekatzal, they were very close yididim. Again, this is talking about the chavrai of the mezitcher magid. For example, like the Berditchever, when he would daven, it was koilus abrokim, and you know, with all the tenuas, the hands back and forth, it was like Rabbi Akiva. See, he had the neshama of Rabbi Akiva. Whereas by the Or HaMeir, he said miyoyim amdi al daiti, from the day that I was a bayadas. He says, I didn't move at all during davening. I didn't show any tenuas whatsoever. He stood there like a doymim. And he said that in the shul, where he was by the chavraya, he used to daven on the one side of him was the Karlina Rebbe. You know, the Karlina, everything was loud and coilless. And on the other side, there was another Rebbe, I forget which one, another tzaddik, everything was very fiery. I mean, with daven in the middle between them two. By him, you didn't hear anything. But they said you heard one thing. The only thing you can hear is if you were close enough, you can hear that his bones were grinding against each other. That's how much his dvekis and his amelus was. On the outside, you saw nothing. But you can hear the bones grinding together, the noise that it was making if you were close enough to the Aramaic. He had a Talmud, Reb Meir, from Kerestov, famous Maisa. He says that he once came to the Or HaMeir as he was being made to Vesaneris, preparing the Chanukah Neris to be lit on Erev Chanukah. And he stood there in like a very deep gaze, watching the Or HaMeir prepare. And he said he had such a hisa'alus and such a dveikus from that he went home and he started writing. And he says that he wrote an entire sefer based on that histaklus of the Or HaMeir. Meaning all the kavanas that the Or HaMeir had during the Hachanas, he was able to be masig some of them. And he wrote an entire sefer on it called Meir Eini Chachamim. We have it today. So it was from that moment that he observed the Or HaMeir, everything that he was masik from that, he writes about that. Everything that was masik, I put to the pen to the paper and came out the sefer. The Baal HaTanya said shvachim on him, Mamash, very big shvachim. He said that when Mashiach comes, he says that every yid will be in the darga of the Or HaMeir. And the Or HaMeir will be on the dagger of the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov will be on the dagger of less Mayach Salada. Nobody will be able to have any shaykhs to the Madrig of the Baal Shem Tov. But everything's going to be pushed up. Where the yin are going to reach? The dagger of the Or HaMeir. That's what he said. Times of Mashiach. Very, very chosh of a sefer, the Or HaMeir. The visioner said about that sefer. It says it's not a chassidish sefer. It's a yiddish sefer. It's for Yiddishkeit, the Sefer. It's not just for Chassidus. It's for Yiddishkeit. He came from the family of Misnagdim. And if this story really brings that out, he had a brother-in-law, married his sister, and very, very big Misnagdim. So they had a son, and Leolina, the son, passed away. And they couldn't be comforted, the mother. Mama, she was completely tzabrachin. And her husband told her the following thing to comfort her. He said, listen, Chazal say that the child usually takes on the tchunas of the uncle. child becomes like the uncle. So we learn this time from Nachshon ben Aminadav that Elisheva was his sister and married Aaron HaKohen. They had another ben Avihu. Another ben Avihu were like Nachshon. He says, but look, Lamaisa, had he gone older, he would have been like Velva. So who wouldn't need another Velva? So with that she had Nechama. Ad Kedei Kach was such a sinner for the Chassidus that she found Nechama in the fact that the son did grow up to be like Dr. Aramir. Ad Kedei Kach. And a very big dveikus with the Maggid from Ezrich, very special dveikus. Most of the time, as soon as he was preparing the wagon to go see the Maggid, if he had a question, he would already be masig what the answer to the question, and he would turn around. Other times he would have to like travel a little bit, but one thing was for sure, that if he didn't get what he needed right away, as soon as he entered the chatzar of the Maggid, he knew exactly right away. Whatever he came for, he would know. One occasion, he came with a chavraya, with some chevra, and he came and he listened to the Maggid speak. He said only 24 words. 24 words. And already he was ready to go back. He says the wagon was waiting, and they were in such a dveikus that they were walking outside the wagon for about 12 hours. They were walking next to the wagon in the wagon. They didn't even realize they were on the wagon until the wagon driver was talking. He said, you ready, Mr. Mincha, and you missed Marv. Do you want to miss Shachris too? There was such a dveikus. From those 24 words of the Maggid, they didn't even know that they weren't on the wagon. Another occasion, we said a story about this recently about Rav Hillel from Kalamai. Our mayor was once listening to a Devei Torah from the Maggid, and he was sitting on the other side of the table. And the Maggid started to say shvachim about the Or HaMeir. But as soon as he started to say shvachim, he started to come closer and closer, and he couldn't hear what was being said. And then he was right up to the mouth of the Maggid, he didn't hear what was going on. Especially he was mezachich himself so much that Torah he can hear all the way down there, but to hear his shvachim he couldn't hear anything. No one can hear anything. I forget what tzaddik it was, but he says the fact that he made maifsim to me, okay, many tzaddik can make maifsim, but this is the biggest maifis of all. He didn't even have bechira on his ears. His ears couldn't even hear the shvachim that was said. He couldn't even hear if he wanted to hear. On one occasion, the Maggid said Torah. And the Chevra, they were handling it over right afterwards, talking about it. Every word of the Maggid was Shevim Alfei Panam Latayra. And at one point, like the Orah Meir was by himself, nowhere to be found. He was being misboided in this Torah. And the Maggid, he came out and he told the Olam to stop talking about their learning because he's trying to rest. There's another story like this about the Karlina Rebbe, Shir Shir. I spoke about that a couple years ago. He told the Olam to stop. And so they stopped. L'chvoyde Shalom Agid. The Maggid wanted to sleep. So they were more quiet so the Maggid can rest. And then the Maggid came out again and he says, what's going on? He says, where is Velvo? There's nowhere to be found. But still, Velvo wasn't there. So he was still being misbehaved in the Torah. But Kol Zman, that the Orah Meir was thinking about the Torah of the Maggid, he couldn't sleep. That's how much Dovik he was to the Torah of the Maggid and how much Dovik the Maggid was with Velvo. On one occasion, he came to the Maggid, and they were having a Suda. And in the middle of the Suda, the Maggid says, quickly, come, bring a kais for benching, so that we can be masmech, we can give smicha to one of the Talmidim here that he's going to be a Rebbe. So, it's a big statement for the Maggid to make. Anyways, it being the benching, so on. And he hands the kais to the Or HaMeir to lead the benching. So afterwards, he said to the Or HaMeir, he says, so, what did you experience during the benching? He says that while I was benching, I felt that there were two hands on my head. So he says, yeah, that was Eliyahu HaNavi, and he was being masmich you to be a Rebbe. Afterwards, when he was leaving, all of a sudden there were throngs of people, when he walked in, it was like, he was just another, person, no big deal. As he was leaving, now that he was a Rebbe, he had mamash, so many people were like flocking to him from all over the place, flocking. As soon as he became a Rebbe, everything, the whole Metzias changed after that. He wanted to get onto his wagon, but he said that he has to ask the Oilam to leave, because the Gemara says that once a person becomes a pinus al tzibur, he becomes a chashav person, he's not allowed to do malacha b'fnei three people. So he didn't want to saddle the wagon, but now that he realized that he was like a rabbi, he had that smicha, so he asked everybody to go away so that he was able to do the malacha. But in that moment, everything changed by that Berachas HaMazon. He was very dovek also to Pinchas Karzer, and he showed up there as like a Pashat Yid. Didn't want the Pinchas who should know who he was, not that he thought himself as anything. But Pinchas, he was mistakel on him very, very much. He watched him and he saw that there was something very special. And on Motzei Shabbos, the Pinchas Karzer, he saw that as Revelva was going down to the cellar to get some wine, we'll talk about that in a moment. So he had a very deep gaze on him. And afterwards he said that the whole time I saw that Eliyahu Navi was riding him. I don't know exactly what that means. Eliyahu was riding him. And he was teaching him the Idra as he was going down the steps. Not so much he was kosher to Torah and Tavayda. One occasion, there was a Yid who came to the Maggid, and he told him that he's having problems during davening, that he's always thinking about foreign thoughts during davening. So he said, go to Revelvel. Revelvel is going to help you. Okay, so he picks up, travels, goes to Zhutomer, and he comes and knocks on the door. It's very late at night, but he sees there's a light on, and he's knocking, and he's not opening up. Knocking, he has to wait in the wagon. It's very cold. Finally, morning break, he opens up the door. And he says to Rebbe, you were up. Why didn't you open the door? He says, I didn't open the door because I'm on the balabas here. He said, what are you here for? He says, the Maggid told me to come here to tell you. I have things, thoughts. He says, I told you already. He says, if you're the balabas, you don't have to open up for everyone. If you're the balabas, you don't have to let all thoughts which come into your head, you don't have to let them in. You have to make yourself the balabas. You let in who you want to let in. We said before that he was going down to the cellar to get some wine. He had a parnasa. His parnasa was that he had a bar? Yeah, that's not the right word to call it. He had a place so you could buy wine. What's it called? The tavern?
I don't know. Liquor store.
Liquor store, yeah. Tavern, yeah.
Winery.
Yeah.
Pub,
yeah. People would come in and they would buy drinks. That was his malacha. So once somebody came in and he wanted to buy a drink, and he was sitting there and he was drinking, and he saw that the way that he was drinking wasn't so nice and he didn't really make a bracha. So he turned to him and he said to him, you know, everything which we come in contact with, you know, there's many gilgulim. Sometimes you eat this, you drink that, whatever it is. You know, there's neshamas which are there. And they wait for our brachas. And when we make those brachas, they make a tikkun. And they wait, mamash, they can wait for days, for months, for years, until finally they come. And they have an opportunity to be eaten, so to speak. And then when that happens, they have a tikkun. So he says to them, who knows? He says, maybe in that glass of wine, of beer, whatever, which you had a drink from, maybe your father was there. And he just went down the drain because he didn't make a bracha. So he heard that he fainted, and he woke up and he said, Today is my father's yahrzeit. It's of course about the Armenian, exactly what he was saying. So you never know. Maybe your father is, they need the tikkun, and that's why he's here. He once saw that there was from the window, there was a yid who was running to Shachas. And it looked like it was like a very chasha thing that it's running to Shachas. So the Eramer looked out the window and he says, look, the pancake is running down the street. Oh, pancake's running down the street. So he said, Baruch Kotchai, he says that this guy, his mother-in-law, told him that when he comes back from Shachas, there's going to be hot pancakes waiting for him. So in his mind, for davening, he was thinking about the pancakes. So he said, look, the pancake is running down the street. That's what he said. Have pancakes afterwards, rushing for davening, have pancakes. We laugh, and I'm also a pancake, you know.
How would that sound in Yiddish?
I don't know. Levivos, they only give it to you in the Hebrew. My says Pasha, Pasha's Nasai. And Yotze falls out around this time. Hey Sivan. Some say it falls out in Purim time, but that they weren't Garisat. They said it was the Talmidim said it was Hey Sivan, Mamash Erev Shavuos. Which is Pasha's Nasai. So the Maisa Shahaya is that there was a woman that she complained to the Hameher that her husband, he's drinking a lot, and then when he gets into this drunken state, he starts to beat her, and it's terrible, terrible. And then she says she wants to get divorced, and then he says, no, I'm going to be better, and then he starts to drink again. So she came to the Hameher, she needed Yeshua. So he says, so bring your husband here. He says, she's never going to come. So he wasn't the firmest. So he said, okay, let's come up with a plan. Your husband likes to drink, yeah? Yeah, okay, I have a pub, so bring him to the pub. So how are we going to do that? He says that I make very good drinks, very good drinks, and so you'll get him to come here. But you have to do this. You have to make it as if you like drinking too, although you can't stand it. You have to put on a good show and start to drink with him and start sharing drinks. And then you can say, come, let's go to the pub, we'll drink together. And that's exactly what happens. So he shows up and he prepares this drink for the guy. He hands him the drink, and all of a sudden he starts to feel like he's about to explode. So he says to him, "Im loy satis tachasi sheichinaki mehamorim hamarim." He says to the guy, he warns him. He says, "If you continue what you're doing to your wife, you're going to die." Like he warned him, like alts mitzvah saita. He warned him. So he was mahar b'tshuva, and he says, "Rebbe, save me, save me." He promised he's going to be good to his wife. Promise going to be good. So he says, "And I'm never going to take another drink again." So the army are fine. He let him off the hook. And he said to him, he says, "I know you're never going to have a drink again. Let me have a drink again. Because after what I did to you, it's going to be so meus to you to drink that you're not going to even want to have another drink again." And he lived happily ever after, I guess. Chiddush HaRim told over this story. He said, you have to be very careful when it comes to pattering a shaykhid from his job. That's how he started the story. I'm sure he had to say this with that, what he meant. He says, once in the town of Zhitomir, so the Or HaMeir, he excused the shaykhid from his duties, and then the shaykhid was very heartbroken from it, showed him on him, and he went from town to town, and he couldn't find a good job. So anyways, he made friends with these ganavim, these reitzchem, these shaydidim. And they took him into the chavaya. He saw that he had a knife, they had a knife, so he joined them. And at first he didn't want to, you know, hold up people and take their money. But then as time went on, he started to get used to it, and that became his business. You know, he was out of a job from being shechita, so he found a new way to do shechita. It's terrible. And on one occasion, so the Or HaMeir was going down the road, and this old sheikh, he chapped the Or HaMeir, didn't know who he was, forgot who he was. And he didn't recognize him. So the Or HaMeir said to him, he said, "Can I have one last request?" So he said, "Yeah." So, you know, last request. Oh, it's Berach Eretz. Everybody knows that. So he said to him, "All I want is, I want to be able to say Kriya Shema. Say Kriya Shema." Okay, give him Kriya Shema. So he goes, he washes his hands, makes an Ashi Yatzar, he says Kriya Shema, and then he realizes from the Tenuos and from the way that he was saying it that this was Bebel, this is his Rebbe, this is the Or HaMeir. And then he faints. He faints from the whole experience. And then he causes him to be Mahar B'tshuva. So that's what the Chiddush HaRim said. He says, be very careful when you pater a sheichit from his duties. He brought the story as a rag, because you never know what's going to happen to him. This one had a good ending. But he says, you have to be very careful when you pater a sheichit. Of course, you know, shechita has an inyan of dinim and gvuros, but... Rav Baruch Mezhbizher, he made a shidduch, somebody in his mishpacha was somebody who lived in Zhitomir. And there was a pagam in the mishpacha, maybe in the chassan, whoever it was, that they didn't want to tell the Baruch Hu because they were afraid, you know, Baruch Hu's hakpedas, and nobody really had the guts to tell Baruch Hu that it wasn't going to be a good shidduch. But there was one barchin who was very close to Baruch Hu, his name was a Pershal, and he came in front of Baruch Hu and he told him this. He says, "I hear, Rebbe, that the Vahu Racham Ha'arach, you know, Vahu Racham, the Vahu Arach, is made a shidduch with the Al Chet." That's what he said. That was his lashon. As if like Rav Baruch Hu, who's the Bahurachim, he's the Marachim, you know, Ha'arach, you know, from the place of Arach Anpin, he's made shidduch with the Al-Chetz. That's what he said. And as soon as he said, the Baruch Hu knew what it was. So he did some investigation, and after the investigation, he says, I'm not being mevatel the shidduch. He says, because as soon as I gave him my hand, I had a cheshek to make shidduch with him, and I know that I'm in a shemayim, it's supposed to be. Ad kedekach was his heritage, that he knew that this was supposed to be for him, this shidduch. So before he went back to Mezhbij, so he went to go say shalom to the Amana of the Aramer. He already had passed Aramer, but the Amana, he went to say shalom. Chashav lady, the Baruch Hu goes, and they start to talk. What brings you here with the shidduch? Okay, now I know, she says, that my husband was a tzaddik emes. Baruch says, why? How do you know? So he says, before he passed away. 20 years before he passed away, he said that there was a guy in town that they made redifus against him and tainus. But Lamaisa says, said the Aramer, he says he was completely free of all accusations. He says, halavai that I was as free as this man was free from his accusations. And he said that because of all the bizyonis that he suffered, he's going to have a child who's going to be neschatin in the family of a big tzaddik one day. And I see that that's you. I mean, the fact that you kept the shidduch and you didn't break it off and you came here for that, that I see that my husband, now I see that he was a big tzaddik. Like he was such a big tzaddik. 20 years earlier, he already knew from the mice that what was going to happen and the outcome from all of the bizyonis. Which for us is a very big chizuk, like we spoke about today in Shabbos morning share. That from all the bizyonis that this Isha Saita goes through, she's actually something very great. So here too, all the bizyonis was for nothing. But the ma'aseh, 20 years later, you got a shidduch with Rav Baruch Hu. The biggest chus than that, tzaddik adar. We spoke of something similar, a story like this, a couple of years ago, by the Sava Kadisha from Adi Shitz. Maybe even on another occasion with another tzaddik, maybe some of you will remember, that there was a paritz. You know, every Matzah Shabbos has to be one paritz. So the paritz, he's making issues. And it was Motzei Shabbos, Kiddush Levana. And the Aramir went out to be Mekadosh Levana. And then he faced the direction of where the Paritz was. And he took out his stick and he said, Tipol Aleim Emos Avafachad, forwards and backwards and then forwards again. And then he picked up the stick and he said, pow, yeah? Mm-hmm. Pow. And then afterwards, Motzei Shabbos, the Paritz was dead. He picked up his stick and he said, pow. Shot him dead. Once there was a tzaddik who came to his pub, named Reb Aaron. And he saw that this Reb Aaron, the close man that he was there, his mouth was always moving. He was always moving. He was always learning Gemara. It seems like he knew him already. I'm not sure if he observed him then, if he knew him from before. And it was about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and he saw that he was a chashuv person, so he invited him to come have suda with him. So after the Suda, 7, 8, whatever it was getting dark. And as soon as it was getting dark, this Reb Aaron, he fainted. Getting dark. And there was a big bahala. Anyways, middle of the night, they didn't know what to do. So they come knocking on the door of the Aramir. He says, we don't know what to do about this Reb Aaron. So Aramir says, oh, I know what to do for him. Don't worry. So he goes over to him and whispers in his ear. And he says, Aaron, he says, it's Chatzos already. It's Chatzos already. As soon as he said his chatzos, his lips started to move again, and what he was doing before. He says, Rebbe, what happened? He says, what happened was is that this Reb Aaron, he's always learning Gemara. He never stops learning Gemara. Everything's chaz and chaz and chaz and Gemara. But tonight is nittel, and as soon as it got dark and it was nittel, he couldn't continue. He couldn't be breathing in this world and not learning Gemara, so he fainted. And now that it was chatzos and it's mutter to learn, all I needed to do was to say, Aaron, it's chatzos now. As soon as he heard it was chatzos, he was ready to wake up.
We So he's at the pub before he's at Ebbel.
I guess so, yeah. I guess so. Doesn't tell us the order here. It's everything's very mixed up. So before he passed away, different gears as to what he said. Maybe they're all true. His Talmud, Reb Shneir from Pestov, he said to him, he says, is that you, Shneir? He said, yeah. He says, I want to tell you that before Mashiach comes, there's going to be many people like me, many people like you, and they're going to have to be misboided in the corner and to make big cheshbon nefesh to see if they have enough emunah shleim on the Borei Olam. And my etza is to be mefarsim that I said so. That's what he said. The Shoyim Emunim, the Bar Leroth, he said that he pointed before he passed away, and he said, before Mashiach comes, there's going to be such a big minus, such a big fear in the world, that even the most beautiful of you, he pointed his Talmidim, says, even the most beautiful of you, there's going to be minus which is coming out of their mouths. Just to be very careful, Meirosh, before Mashiach comes, not to be chopped up in the minus which is going to overtake the world that we see. I mean, the Gemara even says so. That the degree of the minus which there is in this world that we're seeing as time goes on, it's unbelievable. Hard to believe. He said another thing which that he said before, is Estalkus. He says it's going to be very difficult times before Mashiach comes. This is going to be such a metzias that a person is going to eat in his home on Yom Kippur, and he may even eat treifas, and he's going to come to shul in a wagon on Yom Kippur, and they're going to give him the shish ilia or mafter. That's the type it's going to be before Mashiach comes. Such a metzias like that. But he said, whatever it is, don't fall into Yish. That's the main thing. Don't fall into Yish. Whatever you see, close your eyes, say Shema Yisrael. Don't fall into Yish. Chazak yourselves in the Munish Lema. B'seichat HaMashiach Tzidkiyam Yom 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 Yom